together. How many of you were Brady Bunch fans? Come on, there's got to be some Brady Bunch fans. And there was one time for, not the talent show where the Brady Six all sang, but there was one where Mrs. Brady, what was her name? Carol, right? Yeah. Carol and Marcia sang a song called Together, Wherever We Go. Do you remember that? Yeah. Really, that was one of the most uplifting episodes of the show. Some of them were really pretty good. And others, as you watch them now, were really not that good. But they sang that song well, and it was about being together through thick or thin, all out or all in. It was a song because during the episode, I think that there were some fights, as always happened in the Brady Bunch. It was sort of like The Simpsons now. There were fights, and then in the end, they kind of all came together. And in that episode, Marcia and Carol sang together. And so they were giving me an example way back in 1970-something, maybe 73, about the early church, really. Because the early church, in this little passage in Acts, this is right after Pentecost, and we'll celebrate Pentecost in a few weeks. But this is right after Pentecost, the church was together. They spent time together. They ate meals together. They looked out for one another, and they sought goodwill for all people. That's what the early church did. It's the model not long after Jesus lived on earth. He left, the church was formed, and it's actually a model that the church is supposed to try to emulate now, even though it's more complicated than the way it was in the early church. I have to qualify this too. In the early church, things did not stay together for very long. This is the example. It's like, do this. And then just a few verses, a few chapters later, things are not any good. People got tired of being so together. Imagine if we, the church, were not just here on Sundays, but we were here every day of the week and we ate every meal together. You might get a little tired of that. Well, that was kind of, they did go to their homes, but they were together an awful lot. So they got tired of that. Some folks wanted more than they needed. That happens. They would have some money over here and they wouldn't put it into the collective pot, and then someone would get jealous. There's actually a case of like people dying. It's nasty in Acts, but they like say to all of the church, we sold our property and here's all of the money, but they held back like half of it, and then they lied about it and then they died. That doesn't happen. It's more complicated than that now. It's like, if you don't put enough in the offering, you don't die. Nothing like that. It doesn't happen that way. But things were, here's the model the way it was, and things didn't go. There was greed and jealousy that set in, which happens every time you get people together. Every time there are relationships, you're going to get greed and jealousy. And of course, you know, radio and TV commentators started calling them communists, I think. No, they didn't do that part there. The way the early church worked is a model for us to try and emulate, though. It's just the way it's supposed to be. Now, it wasn't a model back then, nor is it now a model for all society to follow. The church having things in common and helping one another wasn't Roman rule. It isn't United States rule. It's not Europe rule. It's not the rule of any society. Even the, you know, we use the word communist as this big negative because we remember that USSR and communism was really about everybody having nothing and a few people having a lot and controlling what all the other people had. Whereas in the early church, which acted like a commune, they just kind of tried to make sure everyone had enough. That was it. Everyone have enough. And, it worked for a little while. Just a little while. And nowadays, things are more complicated than they were in the early church. We have buildings. And so you have to have people that make sure that the building is okay. We have nonprofit incorporation papers. And so we have to make sure we follow certain laws about politics and everything. And, you know, that from the pulpit, we can talk about issues. But because we're a 501c3 nonprofit corporation, we don't make statements about particular political candidates or anything like that. We could, but then we would not be classified as a 501c3 tax-free organization, right? If we wanted to do that, we could say all we wanted. It's not a freedom of speech issue. It's we don't want to pay taxes, and so we don't say certain things kinds of stuff. A lot of stuff that we can say from the pulpit, but we avoid telling you who you should vote for, which is probably pretty wise. I think it is very wise because, you know what? In the church, there are disagreements. I'm not going to have you raise your hand, but I'll bet there's Republicans here. I'll bet there are Democrats here. I'll bet there are Libertarians here. I'll bet there are people who don't vote here. We all try to get along. You know, the early church, when they were together with the funds, when they were together with eating, it wasn't some rebellious way to say the government is wrong. It was just a way for the church to work. And nowadays it is more complicated. I've listed some things. So we have salaried employees. That requires something. We have to have, you know, check writers, and we have to have people that make sure that the money gets counted and all that kind of stuff. We have community events that we have to participate in as a church. The early church, they were kind of the community. You know, it was the church, the community, all mapped into one. We have fundraisers. Pork chop drive-thrus. They did not have pork chop drive-thrus in the early church because they didn't eat pork. Maybe they had, you know, something else that they had drive-thrus for. I don't know. Maybe they had fundraisers. Just like in the early church where they had some problems, we have desire for more than we need. I know. Come on. We are people living in the Western Hemisphere, and we like big cars, and we like our houses, and we like to look nice, and we want more than we need. We all want more than we need, and we get more than we need. We have disagreements, sometimes loud ones, sometimes quiet and under the table. And I'm thankful that in our congregation, though we have disagreements on things, that usually it does not come to yelling and screaming, that when we have disagreements, we talk about things and try to get to a place where we can all get along. And boy, we do get along. Don't you think we get along pretty well? This is a good place. It really is. And I don't want to just say like, oh, this is a great church, we have no problems, because of course we have problems. But this is a good place because we get along. I like that we're following that part of the early church. But we have greed and jealousy. Sure. Forget about the radio and TV stuff. They didn't have it back then, and none of you listened to any radio or television that has any inflammatory words about any political opinion, right? None of the things that we have going on, the greed, the jealousy, where we get it wrong, all of that, none of that disqualifies us from being the church together. You can disagree, you can have different opinions, you can even have arguments, but it doesn't disqualify you from being the church together. None of it disqualifies us from focusing on the two rules. Shout them out to me. Love. Love. Okay, shout them out is maybe an understatement there. Those two rules, love, love. Nothing disqualifies us from following those rules. Nothing disqualifies us from continuing to do all of that. And as we do that, we have some specific things to devote ourselves to, like spending time together. We don't have to spend time together every day. Sunday morning is good. Maybe another time during the week. Or maybe getting together in smaller groups for coffee. Or hanging out at the store. You know, everyone's at the grocery store, you know, on Tuesday. Just like 40 people go to the grocery store. The grocery store will be really happy. You should buy some stuff while you're there, of course. But spending time together worshiping, learning, celebrating our call to be Jesus' followers. That's really what the church is about, in that spending time together. And sharing meals together. And we are really good at sharing meals together. During the school year, when we have every Wednesday night, we share meals together. And we have fundraisers. And we have community gatherings. And we're good cooks here. Don't you think? I've been in churches for a long time. And I've been to some good potluck dinners. None of them, and I know it's slighting all the other churches I've either gone to or worked at, not a one of them makes better potluck dinners than this church and then the community that brings stuff in. Best food ever. So if you haven't been to a dinner at Union Congregation Church, you just have to, because it's the best food. Anyone disagree? I dare you. No. How about looking out for one another? Like noticing when folks are really happy or pretty down in the dumps, or calling a friend to thank them for something that they did, or writing a note saying, hey, I really appreciated your telephone call, or whatever it is. Helping folks with yard work, reaching out to a neighbor in need, showing genuine kindness toward all of God's children. That's looking out for one another. But then there's one that's tied into it, of the four things that, you know, the church spent time, ate meals, looked out for one another, and then seeking goodwill for all the people. And this one is actually the hardest. As I talked in the children's sermon, it's the hardest because there are people that you don't like. Go ahead, think of them right now, but just for a second. It's easy to help friends out. It's easy to call a friend or rake a neighbor's leaves, but it's really hard to seek goodwill for all the people. In town, there are people that you don't like, right? There are people you disagree with, sometimes significantly. There are greedy people. There are people who are jealous of you, or people who have been hostily jealous toward you. There are people that you need to be away from because their presence seems to be just toxic, that just being around them makes you angry. Maybe it's toxic to everybody else. And I'm not saying that you should go and make friends with every person in town, or you should even try to be friends with the people who it seems to just be toxic when you are together. But you should seek goodwill for everyone, including those people. And I'm putting those people in quotes because I don't even like there to be a them. But we all have in our minds a them. Us and them. But we want to seek the goodwill of us and them, so that it's really just us in many ways. But then the question that Shadrach brought up, I think, or maybe I brought up, or maybe the kids brought up, I think I brought it up. What about people who want to harm others? Should I seek their goodwill? Because I don't want someone to be happy because they did harm to somebody, or burned something, or punched somebody, or hurt something that did something awful. But remember, seeking goodwill isn't about wanting someone to do harm. It's about wishing no harm on someone and wishing good on them. It's about genuinely wishing good things for all people, not just the people that you like. And those things aren't about harm. So when the question comes up, what about the people who would want to harm others? Should I seek their goodwill? Yes, you just shouldn't wish that they can harm others. Does that make sense? Does it make sense now? Gideon? No. What was your name? Jake. There. I called you Gideon because you're a Bible guy now. Yeah. Jake, does that make sense now? Wishing goodwill on people, even when you don't like them? Because it's not about them harming someone. It's about good things happening to people. None of us are going to really going to turn the world into a perfect place. We can make the world a better place by doing good things, but none of us individually, or even as this church here, we're not going to turn the whole world into a perfect place. But we can devote ourselves to a model that can make it better. I know we'll mess up. You will mess up today. Maybe. We're really good at that. We're really good at messing up. But God has a way of making it right anyway, because God never gives up. God never loses hope. God never stops loving all of God's creation. And we still have great examples of following God's rules to love God and to love everyone. Spending time together, sharing meals together, looking out for one another, and seeking goodwill for all the people. So, challenge this week, this month, this year, whatever time frame you want to put it into, let's just do that. Let's spend some time together. Let's share meals together. Let's look out for one another, and let's seek the goodwill of all the people. Let's be devoted. Amen.